The book that I'm holding is entitled Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom by Ryan T. Anderson. Now, Ryan Anderson researches and writes about marriage and religious liberty at as the William E. Simon Senior Research Fellow in American Principles and Public Policy. He also focuses on justice and moral principles in economic thought, healthcare and education, and has expertise in bioethics and natural law theory. It's a pretty wide brief. He's also the founder and editor of Public Discourse, the online journal of the Witherspoon Institute of Princeton, New Jersey. His recent work focuses on the constitutional questions surrounding same-sex marriage. He is the co-author with Princeton's Robert George, who was here about 2 years ago, I think, and Sharif Gurgis, of the acclaimed book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Happy to be with you.
So far, it's a pleasure. Let's see how we go. I want to play devil's advocate with you at the very least. I want to approach this, the future of marriage. You're defending marriage, traditional marriage, man and a woman. Mm-hmm. I want to start this way, that marriage has been redefined in various ways by law, by belief, by practice, more particularly, and certainly by legal means, so that divorce is now passé. You've got people hanging around who've been married four times, for instance. You know, it has undermined the principles of marriage. The way that we treat kids, the way that you have kids now out of wedlock. Every aspect of marriage has been manipulated, changed, undermined. So why would you not expect it to go further into same-sex marriage and beyond? And why would you bother arguing with it when the churches now, supposedly the defenders of such principles, comply with them?
Sure. I mean, it all depends whether these changes have been good or bad.
No, hang on. Does it really depend on that? The fact is the changes are made, they're in play, and it's only a matter of reality that it would progress further. So whether they're good or bad is I suggest, irrelevant.
Well, no, so it depends. If you think that the changes have been good, then you can cheer on additional changes that follow that logic out. If you think those changes have been bad, you might want to say, we need to put the brakes on, we need to reconsider. There's no reason to think that anything in life is inevitable. So just because for the past 50 years... heterosexuals have made a mess of marriage. No one denies that. Whether it's cohabitation, premarital sex, non-marital childbearing, divorce, look at all the various ways in which heterosexuals have made a mess of marriage. But if you agree that it's a mess, why would you say there's nothing we can do to clean it up?
Okay.
And so, why would you say double down on that and redefine what marriage is?
All right. So where's the cleanup coming from? Because surely that should come first.
Well, it needs to come at the same time. It's not a matter of which one you do first. It's the vision that inspires the legal redefinition of marriage is this. Consenting adults should do whatever consenting adults want to do. Love makes a marriage, right? And those are slogans that we've heard in the United States, slogans that I imagine you've heard in New Zealand by those campaigning to redefine marriage. But if those slogans aren't true, that consenting adults should do whatever consenting adults want to do, and that love alone is what makes a marriage, then we have to do work to help educate the public on what the truth about marriage is, what marriage is, why it matters, and why redefining it, whether in terms of the ending of marriage, the beginning of marriage, or the very definition of marriage, has bad consequences.
So is all of the above that you've just mentioned, is that all based on shall we say, matters biblical?
No, it's based on human nature. So I come at this book from the perspective of a political philosopher. I don't mention theology or the Bible much at all in the book, except to say that the best of human reason also is echoed by the best of revelation. But there's a reason why more or less every political community throughout human history and across the globe was recognizing marriage as the union of male and female. It wasn't just the Christian communities. It was more or less every community, because the union of a man and a woman can produce a child, and children need a mom and a dad. And all of these communities said, we need an institution that unites men and women as husbands and wives to then be mother and father to any children that their union might produce.
Okay. So we used to ride horses. Now we drive in cars. And we made a very big transition from horses to Model T and to what we've got today. So why should... Well, I won't stop there, actually. Let's go to matters medical. Medicine has changed dramatically. We can now keep people alive for much longer. We can cure diseases. We've made progress. We've improved things. Although some people argue that we haven't improved things because we now do abortions and what have you. But nevertheless, overall, we mostly agree that life has been improved by medical intervention. So as we've made all those changes, moved away from those basic things, we can now have children out of wed. We can have children any which way we want, via a medical intervention. So, seeing that we've got that far with medicine, why should we be held back in other ways over so-called traditional marriage?
Sure, it all depends on whether or not these changes are good or bad. That's why I answered your very first question saying everything hinges here. No one denies, but who
says whether they're good or bad?
We have to say that, right? We have to use our brains to think about these questions. And so no one denies that moving from horse and buggy to automobile is a good change, right? You get increased efficiency, increased speed, and increased safety.
And increased road deaths.
Well, I would actually say you probably overall got fewer casualties as we moved to the automobile than you did from a slow form of transportation. If you look at the net, yeah, there might be more casualties directly caused by automobile crashes. But you think about all of the good things, all the ambulances that have been able to get patients to hospitals in time for emergency medicine. So you have to look at things in its totality. So the question here is, redefining marriage, using these new biotechnologies that you mentioned, are they improving the state of our families or are they actually harming them? I think, yes, it's possible for a same-sex couple to create a child using a sperm donor or a surrogate womb or an egg donor. Is it in the best interest of that child to be denied either a mother or a father? Just because we can do something scientifically doesn't mean we should do something.